James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio, broadcasting live from beautiful Trout Lake, Washington. We're back right now, but we've been gone for a little while due to a little investigation trip down in Mexico that I was on to check out some of the UFO crash sites and some other bizarre phenomenon that we experienced there, and the Christmas holidays as well. But we're back again, and we're going to continue to bring some great guests, like tonight's guest, which is Andrew Fetter.
How you doing, James?
Great. How you doing?
Doing great. Thanks for having me on your show.
So you got a new book out?
Yes, I do.
When the Angels Have Risen.
It's my book that took me about five years to come out. I originally wrote it back in about 2000. Mm-hmm. And then basically, I incorporated two aspects, several aspects, between the connection between aliens, or I'd call them extraterrestrials, and the biblical events, and also with current political situations, along with a lot of spirituality and some fundamentals about our situation right now that we're currently in.
Yeah, we could sure use a little help from up above, which is what we're moving into right now.
Yeah, but it seems like things are slowly changing, and I think things are manifesting in an unusual way.
No, it definitely does. Now, how did you get into this field? What sparked your interest, or put you on this path?
Several. Well, a long time ago, years back when I first was actually living in Israel back during the 80s, and I was studying, even though I was young, I was studying on a holy man named the Moa, studying Kabbalah and metaphysics in that sense, which usually in the religious essence, you have to start when you're 40. Back then I was in my 20s. And as I was studying, I had a lot of questions, more than answers. And I started my unusual spirituality, and I had always wondered about connections between extraterrestrials and whatnot and spirituality within that. And it didn't really start coming into about another 10 years later that I felt there was definitely something there. And then I noticed a lot of connections between and then when I came back, I pushed away from the normal, I started learning Kabbalah during the 80s under somebody else, on two people, one specifically, Janae St. Clair, who's at the time she had passed, before she passed away, she's a renowned psychic, mystic, and healer. And during that time, I started realizing even more so of a connection. And then I've had some unusual time losses experiences on my way to Vegas, and didn't put anything to it, but just always felt there was something there to it. At the same time, I've been becoming more in tune with my spirituality and more metaphysical and with healings and out of body stuff and whatnot. But I still felt with extraterrestrial there's a whole connection with what was going on, both that spirituality and then I compelled me to finally put it together. Actually, in 2000 was actually when Bush became president, I don't want to say really elected, and that compelled me to put it together with a political tone to it, because I felt there's people, we tend to split things up. And I noticed that some people who are very spiritual don't want to get mixed politics, and people who are politics tend to don't want to get involved with that because of the cultural war, but there's, I think there's definitely a connection with all three aspects, including the acknowledgement of extraterrestrials and coming to a face to that. And I think right now as we're seeing, like, I don't know if you heard this recently, the O'Hara incident with the UFOs, and I think things are coming more of a head, and that's why I was compelled to write this, and also to get people to question rather than, you know, submit to the clerics and government authorities telling them what they should think rather than what's in their heart, what's really going on.
Yeah, I just wrote an email I sent out on the list about waiting for the authorities, and we're all waiting for the authorities to give us the truth about what's really going down. And what's interesting is most of the authorities don't know. All they know is what's in their box, and they're afraid to comment on the bigger picture and what's really happening. And a lot of them, are involved in the cover-up or the control factor, or there's a lot of other things going on. But I watched amazingly how they tried to cover up that O'Hare incident, where the pilots, the ground crew, the officials all saw this object that came down, some disc-shaped object was sitting there hovering for quite some time, and then it accelerated a rapid rate and blew a big hole through the cloud cover as it went through. Now, we're talking about pilots watching this thing, and you would think they would be able to tell the difference between some weird weather anomaly and a disc-shaped craft punching a hole through the atmosphere as it goes up.
Yeah, that was like sort of amazing. So I think there's a lot of things, including I saw a film shot from a space shuttle showing UFOs moving back and forth at millions of miles per second or whatever. That was beyond, beyond physics, I guess, except for quantum physics.
Now Buzz Aldrin just came forward. I saw on a video where they interviewed him, and he said that every one of their flights were followed, and that he was looking out the window and saw these UFOs following him. And I didn't see the whole interview, but I had a friend of mine watching the interview, and what he told me was that he said that when they were on the moon, that, they ran these massive ships parked right on the moon, and it was very embarrassing in a way because, here they're sitting there facing off with these massive ships, not knowing who they are. And, this is coming from Buzz Aldrin, and almost all the astronauts now are starting to come forward and talk about, what's really going on.
Yeah, that's pretty much a phenomenon. So I try to point, within my book, of bringing a lot of these parts together, and I just feel it's kind of come to a head of some mainstream. I don't know if it's the so-called 2012 Mayan calendar event. I've heard news regarding that issue, and but I definitely think things are coming about. In fact, I've read reports coming out from India about that the Iranians were shooting down, they thought that were American flights flying within near their nuclear facilities, but they were Foo Fighters because they were going so fast, and it determined that was Foo Fighters or, UFOs running through their nuclear facilities. So I think it's becoming more and more eventful, it's being acknowledged. And I'm just wondering when the authorities are going to come to a head and say, yeah, this is what's going on. But then I see, and this is why I wrote within my book, The Two Sides, I really believe there are definitely two aspects within extraterrestrials. I do believe they're just like people, in any situation. And around our universe, there's both of a light side and a dark side. And I think there's, on one essence, there's extraterrestrials on the very light, and I believe there's also extraterrestrials who are, obviously, I feel, are on the other side. And I feel there have been in a very much of an influence in aspects even within our own spirituality. And that includes people on this earth plane. And that's where I bring into the aspect of, because people look and definitely, we're human, we're here, but then our souls, are they really from this planet? And that I separate those two issues because I don't believe all our souls are from Earth originate, and that's why I split up.
It does seem to be quite an interesting unfoldment here. My gut feeling is that we have had a lot of influence, not just from ETs, but from other realms. You might say some darker realms and, astral realms, things like that. But it seems like that is coming to a close, and we're evolving to the next level. And that aspect of that negative force, you might say, is just kicking and screaming all the way out. But it just feels to me like it's just kicking and screaming on the way out. It doesn't have too much longer to make its run. And there is a greater force coming in right now that's going to pretty much put a stop to the nonsense.
That's my feeling. I felt that's basically within my book. Mm-hmm. I feel things are coming to a head, and that's why the term I got in there is when the angels have risen. It's when things finally unfold. And I think, there is a tug, a last grasp of holding things. And I think it's with, you can see basically within all a lot of organized religions, whether it's the Muslims and the Christians fighting between each other, and whether it's Jews holding on to their thing, and all the organized religions are trying to hold on to the last grasp. Mm-hmm. And I think that's going to come to a head where it's going to, that sense is going to, is going to disappear. And people are going to be coming to a head when realization, when they realize that we're not the only ones in this universe. And
I think that's going to be the key, covering all three aspects. We've got the religious aspect, we've got the political aspect, and, the population in general. And let's say, this fleet of ships come in, and they're hovering, just parked there. They're not engaged in any kind of a threatening or aggressive manner. And, you really think about, how is, we can take them one at a time. How is the religious community, how do you think they're going to react to this?
That is pretty. I think if you were going to separate all the, dynamics of all the organized religions, I personally believe that the way the fundamentals within, Jews and Muslims, especially, well, I can say there's a certain split of Muslims, the more tolerant of Muslims because they're broken up in so many sects, but will totally accept, be very receptive. I think a large community of Jews will be accepting. Definitely the Hindu community will accept it, and I believe very much that like the Buddhist community as well, and Native Americans, and even pagans. But I think there's going to be the thing that's going to affect everything is basically a lot of fundamentalist Christians, because that will throw off their whole game plan of their own personal view of the so-called Armageddon, and their way of finiting spirituality as opposed to making spirituality a more of an infinite process.
Yeah, there's now this is really interesting. I think it's Father Balducci came forward with the Catholic Church's position on it. He said that we do recognize that there are other extraterrestrial civilizations living throughout the multiverse. It just expands our concept of God, and they're not to be demonized or seen as negative. So that was a real positive statement coming out of the Catholic Church.
I'm not aware of that, but that's sort of surprising because I thought they might be more reactionary.
Now Billy Graham calls them God's other angels. So now you have some of the evangelical groups coming out talking about it that this isn't negative, but you still have these people that are running around in the name of God looking for the devil and everything, or looking for an enemy, and they've gotta have an enemy and taunt it until it crucifies them so they can get to heaven or something. I don't know what the
yeah they need oh yeah the negative
it's quite interesting that there is this group. I run into quite a few of them, and I ask them, I go, well, where's the love? I said, I'm trying to understand, follow a man that was good for infinite love and compassion and forgiveness, but where is it? you know, where to go, you know, like who are you following again, you know, so it's kind of interesting. Well, going through the, but you know, we do know there's that group that is going to really try to demonize it and make everything ugly. And then now we have the political arena. Now, what do you think we're going to have with that arena, with our politicians and that experience?
That's the problem. It's to come to a head to it. They're trying to, I think more, I think before it might have been more of a fear letting things out because, people might panic and things might happen. And then there's other issues where I think they're more of, which I've heard where there's certain, relationship with certain extraterrestrials where there's been, a relationship as far as technology as well. So I think there's a lot of, crossovers of ours, how they would be able to deal with acknowledgement in far as, you know, publicizing it. I think it's going to come out more like in layer. It's been coming out in like little layers. And that's what I think, maybe that's what their authorities or government authorities are trying to do. But it's getting to where it's going to become out of hand where they don't even have control of doing that, because I think we are in the information age, and because of the internet and because of things like YouTube, and things are going to become more and more and more out where anybody can film, be their own reporter basically. Mm-hmm. And then as well as it's not just locally, it's globally. Like, I mean, like you were in Mexico, and then there's stuff coming out, like I said, in Iran, and then, you know, all around the world, events are happening. And I know in the UK, there are events happening there a lot. So
totally open. The other countries are totally open to UFOs, and most of them see it not as a threat, but more of a spiritual thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, even France now is releasing all of its files. So it just seems like most of Europe, and definitely Mexico, South America, they're all totally behind this, you know, event coming up. And it seems like the United States is probably the last holdout, which, you know.
That's interesting. Why would they be the last holdout, though?
You know, my theory on that, if you wanted, is that basically we've been back engineering the technology since the 30s. It goes back that far. And, you know, in any kind of a major war, usually the guy with the best technology wins. And so they've been back engineering these technologies for quite some time. And in the interest of national security, they think that it's a good idea to suppress that. But the problem is that these very same technologies are what we need to restore the planet. You know, they're clean fuel of energy technologies. There's healing technology. There's all this incredible technology that they've gleaned, you know, from the crash site. You know, your PC, your computer, you know, the computer chip, the fiber optics, the microwave, all of that stuff came from Roswell. So it's an ongoing thing. But I think that basically there's several reasons. One, the major, you know, oil companies and the powers that be that like to keep us enslaved through dependency.
Do you think? I think it's more has to do with economics.
Exactly. They don't want this technology out there. They don't want us to be free thinking and have that creative time to really contemplate who we are and why we're here and maybe how we could do things better.
Because basically, I think it keeps it to the norm of the situation where if technology was released to the point where there wouldn't be a situation where we would have poverty. People would be striving. I don't want to sound Star Trek-y, but it would be basically that. We would turn into, money would not be a concern. We'd be learning to turn to, the goal would be to heal and develop yourself.
You know, exactly. It seems like any advanced culture, when you connect with these or do research, then you ask them what kind of monetary system they have, you know, with these people. We don't have one.
Yeah, exactly.
I think we've transcended all material need or want. You know, we the universe is our playground. We don't believe in separation or competition or any of these other things, so we live just thoroughly abundant, free lives. You know, we can go anywhere.
I think that's sort of scary for a lot of people, though.
You know, it is, because it's only scary for those, for the controllers, basically, that want to keep everybody, you know, enslaved through dependency. It's very scary for their positions of power, you know, know, over others. But, you know, as far as evolution is concerned, you know, there's like an edict coming from the source itself saying we're going to evolve to the next level, and that means, you know, stop overpowering others and start empowering the individual to make their own, you know, personal God connection and live a thoroughly loving, joyous, abundant life, you know, in harmony with each other and nature.
Well, that's a, like you just summed up my book.
Sorry about that. Well, it's good to know this is coming through so many different sources.
Yeah.
You know, that's the bottom line is that, you know, this is definitely coming. It's part of our destiny. And, you know, we can go kicking and screaming, but it's like, you know, my thing is like, how do you stop this omnipresent force? You know, that's within everyone and everything that's saying we're going to the next level.
I think it's just a self-worthiness, a self-worth. That's part of what I try to put in within my book. If you develop like a self-worthiness, if people have the self-worth and develop their true self-esteem. And I'm not talking about, you know, being narcissistic, because that's not really having self-worthiness. But where you believe in yourself to question certain things, mm-hmm. and question authorities, but in the same token, because you're developing your self-esteem, you're actually indirectly healing yourself. And then your spiritual side, your vibration, let's go more on a spiritual thing, your vibration would rise up further. And if people were doing that, there'd be less reason for, you know, it's like if the only reason why somebody go and murder or rape or do something or want to kill somebody else is because they themselves don't have any self-worthiness. Because if they had self-worthiness, you would need to go and do that.
Wasn't know thyself as one of the main edicts passed down by the masters?
Yeah.
Yeah, when you truly know who you are, when they, you know, right after that they said, you know, ye are gods and the Spirit of God dwells within you. And when you know that you're not separate from others and nature and everything else, you just don't act in a harmful manner.
Ditto. That's exactly. And I think that's once that development, and I think it's, you know, it is starting. I think it's, you know, it's not a reason why there. I think there's people are now into blogging and putting their thing out, and they're trying to questioning and they're communicating with other people. I mean, there is a lot of people who I see, you know, still trying to be Nathaniel, but I think in general, overall, it's changing. It's moving toward up rather than backward. There are situations trying to pull back, you know, like what we have, you know, in different areas, and where we had even like in Bush, in the political sense with a lot of the neo-right wing religious who are trying to pull us, you know, 5 years, 10 years backwards. I think things switched, you know, even politically here. People are wanting to change things, you know, they even with the situation in Iraq, with the situation in our environment, and now global warming, which, you know, has for years people would laugh at it, and there's been, you know, like the Rush Limbaughs laughing at the tree hugger, but, well, the tree hugger saved the environment, saves us.
Oh, yeah.
If you don't have an earth, you don't have economics. So there's no such thing as let's do things on short it's not economically smart if we worry about our environment. Well, we won't have economics if we don't take care of our environment.
Yeah, if the platform for life ends, it's game over. You know, it's like it doesn't matter if you have a really nice Porsche and a big fancy house and everything else. You know, if you don't have a loaf of bread,
or you can have a big, beautiful house sitting along the near New Orleans 2-3 years ago, and then look what happened.
Exactly. Yeah, it's definitely there's no doubt about global warming. I don't see how any reasonable mind, you know, could defend, you know, that's not happening, which, you know, kind of unfortunately is what our leadership is doing.
Yeah.
But I
think those events are actually, I mean, I think certain things are sort of karmic, but those are like events pushing us further up.
Yeah.
Like there's opportunities, and some things are negative, but it also, you can always say every situation can always turn a positive element out.
Yeah.
One would be, as bad as 9/11 was, here was a chance for actually Bush, for example, could have been one of the greatest presidents. And here God goes, here you are, you can be a great leader. And then he took it and used it the wrong way. Well, it took 6 years for all that turmoil and all the people who've, you know, been hurt because of his decisions. But then there's another backlash. People are now realizing that was not their way to go.
No, no, definitely it never was. Basically, my gut feeling is that whole thing was just a ploy anyway to you know, push their agenda forward. But anyway, you know, going back to that story, you know, going back to reasonable mind, you know, it's like I've noticed lately with these new energies, and I was in meditation one day, and I was told that tyranny is coming to an end very clearly. And they were telling me how it's being done through frequency, and by the frequencies of the earth are rising and moving up. And they said there's going to become a day where you're going to see the tyrants are going to be totally dysfunctional, and their rage and anger and everything and their need to dominate and control is just going to be, you know, spilled out for everybody to see. And we're seeing that right now. And
James, can we get you to speak up a bit, if it's possible?
All right, so we have a little technical problem here. I'm going to try to fix this thing. But we've got, you know, what's going on right now. We've got some quite interesting things happening. I just saw a YouTube video. I don't know if you saw that one, but I had our president on there just sitting there stuttering for like 10 minutes, and he couldn't answer a question.
Who was that?
It was a video of President Bush.
Oh, yeah, when he was stuttering.
Where he just sits there and stutters and stammers, and it takes him God knows how long. And finally just says, I don't know, and he walks off the, I don't know what the question they gave him, but it was amazing. Watching that, I go, that is really sad. I go, Where's the guy's ability to think on his feet? You know, where does he have a stand on anything? You know, did the batteries die? And they were telling him exactly what to say, and he doesn't have any opinion of his own. You know, what is going on? You know, is this thing all being orchestrated from some back room? You know, and that's beginning to be what it looks like. There's levels, you know, of orchestration going on.
Hmm.
And what we're seeing up front is just the puppet show, and we really need to go
behind more of what's really behind the scenes.
You know, exactly, and it's probably getting into what you're talking about in your book, that there could be some very negative races that are advanced in the negative way, or demonic energies or something at play here, because it's you know, the outcome is obvious. You know, by their fruits you'll know them, and we got some really nasty fruit, you know, on the ground right now.
Well, it's sort of funny you said, because I said, about a month ago, I think it was, like in Iran, when the Iranian president, he was sitting there giving a speech, and the students were, like, heckling him, calling him, you know, death to the dictator. Who would think in a place like that, students can stand up in the middle and say all this stuff, in a place where they just, they'll stone you just for, you know, a woman gets stoned just for not wearing her chador or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was like, I mean, sort of surprisingly, you know, that those kind of things are happening, that people are, like, taking a stand. I think, you know, whether even within the Middle East with the Israelis and Palestinians, I think things are going to really very quickly come to a head where finally I think there's going to be peace. But there's a resolution that's happening with amongst the own Palestinians themselves, as well as coming to terms, and as well as the Israelis coming to terms. I think that all this stuff is happening all everywhere you can point to. And it's coming to a head where, like what you're saying, I mean, people are going, wait a second, we just want to live in peace. We just want to live, you know, and it's raising a vibration. It's changing. You know, people are starting to, you know, rise up a little bit further in their own mentality and realize what is really the truth, and what is really, you know, and what is their own sense of self-worthiness, which actually just, you know, heightens their vibrations, which just leads more and more a positive element within our, on this earth plane.
They have an old saying, you know, you got to go through a little hell to get to heaven, you know. And
yeah.
It does seem like this energy is bringing everything right up to the surface and for everybody to look at. And, you know, when they're done drinking bad wine, you know, they might finally figure it out. You know, you drink enough bad wine, you get a sour taste in your stomach long enough, you just say, oh, you know what, I think I'm going to try something different. Who knows when they're going to try something different.
Yeah, I heard from somebody who was interviewing a government official, and it was done sort of clandestine, and the person was reading off, he was involved with the files and the materials within the government for some 20 years, and then within their documents, they actually had specified when the government was going to finally open up with extraterrestrial and the things were going to happen, and then that would be a vibrational change. And he gave a specific time of 2012, December,
mm-hmm.
which is sort of funny. And they also said it was going to be through the media.
Well, you know, I think it's going to be announced by the ships even before that. I think it's, you know, like O'Hare, and you got the Phoenix Lights, and you've got, you know, they flew down to New Jersey Turnpike, 12 ships. And they interviewed all the people, the high patrol people, everybody. And, you know, they've been flying down major thoroughfares. And I think in St. Paul, they were hovering there for I don't know how long. And, you know, you have all this footage now coming out, like you're saying, on YouTube and, you know, all over the Internet. I've seen incredible footage coming out of Mexico and China, you know, with just hundreds of ships. In the footage, and you go, my God, you know, how could they, why aren't we seeing this in our news media? You know, what's wrong with this picture?
It's just, I think it has to do with, there was a movie called, What the Bleep Do You Know?
Yes, uh-huh.
And when the Native Americans first looked out and they saw ships, because they never saw ships that were like that kind coming to the ocean, their own mind would not recognize a ship sitting from the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
And it took a medicine man who saw it, because he looked at things, you know, he was open-minded enough to look at things in a different perspective, actually saw, you know, Columbus and them pulling up on their ships.
Yeah, there's that old saying, as you believe, so it is. And if you don't believe in any of this stuff, then maybe that's the reality you're going to experience.
Yeah, and that's what I think what's really a lot of it is, I mean, we perceive what we our own truth. So the more that we recognize what's out there, then the more it's open.
I think one of these days these guys are going to be walking across the field, you know, like one of those Star Trek movies, and bang their head against a big metal object.
Oh, yeah. Like, what was it? That was...
Where'd that come from?
That was, I remember that. That was Star Trek when he landed in the middle of the field. Yeah, I remember. I know what you want.
Yeah, that was pretty funny. I thought about it, you know, that... You know, you see the grass all punched down and everything when they land, but the ship's cloaked, you know. But, you know, there's a lot of science behind that as far as these ships being able to operate, you know, in the infrared realm or the ultraviolet or raise their frequencies up to where, you know, we can't see them until they choose to, you know, drop into the visible light spectrum where we can see them. So it's very easy for them with their technology to, you know, stay out of vision, you might say.
Well, I'm just fascinated how they deal with the time element, because we look at time so linear,
mm-hmm.
and I think that's been our problem with our own science, that we look at things in so finite as far as time, and that's why we can't go past, you know, the certain mocks that'll reach beyond, because how would they be able to travel from one distance to another distance so fast unless they were able to didn't know how to break through, I guess it would be almost like, what do they call the wormholes?
Yeah, they'd have to create some kind of a time jump or basically clap time and space and be able to just appear wherever they wanted to versus flying like we would.
Think of where we're flying to, and I think that's what's really going on. I mean, maybe the ship is doing that, and they go through some sort of quantum physics situation where they break through the time element.
Well, we watch the ships here. We have some incredible footage of these ships, and some of them have a void. They actually create this void in front of them, and the void actually, and they fly into this void as they're going. And it's just amazing some of the technology they have. And we watched one ship, we have it on film, actually morph from one to three, back to one again. We have two times where they actually landed and morph from one to two ships. And then we have another one, you know, we have just incredible footage of these ships just expanding, becoming huge and lighting up the whole sky, you know, with 60 witnesses on the ground. You know, a lot of Boeing engineers have been coming up here and top physicists. And
that's at your residence, right?
Yeah, at the
residence. I've heard about that. At your residence, they have a lot of UFO sightings.
Oh, yeah, it's ongoing. You know, we don't watch TV. We pull up a couple of chairs and sit out in front of the mountain and watch the ship. That's what we do at night with a camera. So we have about 60 hours of footage of these ships doing everything possible. But one thing I noticed is that we had some look like F-16s or whatever on these ships, afterburners coming right after this one ship, and it just blinked out, disappeared. And they went by and turned around and, you know, and it reappeared again, and they, you know, vectored in on it again, and it just disappeared again. And so there's really nothing we can do about it. These ships are so advanced, especially these higher ones, the ultra-dimensionals on up, they have full use of creational energies. There's nothing we can do about this. So, you know, in the interest of national security, I really don't think it's a good idea to greet them with aggression. I think we should start, you know, befriending them and saying, hey, can you guys watch our backside in the universe here?
I think they have to pull out the movie, what are the Close Encounters of the Close Kind, that one?
Yeah.
I think they have to pull that out as an instructional how to deal with extraterrestrials.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, instead of coming out there and, you know, like you're saying, attacking and, I mean, in a vicious thing. I mean, if they wanted to, they could, you know, with that type of technology, we wouldn't be here. So
definitely.
You know, my view is they're looking at us like, when are they going to finally get their thing together?
You know, I definitely don't think they want to be worshipped. They don't want to be feared. They're very concerned about the condition of the consciousness and the environment here and
mm-hmm.
where we're headed. And I think they understand the connection of all life, and they serve creation, and they see us as a part of creation that is in trouble right now. And they're very concerned because it affects everything, because everything is connected. So they really do want us to live in harmony with each other and the planet and join the rest of the universe in peace, the majority of them.
When do you think they'll probably, that this might come more of to a head?
My feeling is that we're in it right now. It's the shifts and the energy shifts coming in are just phenomenal, and it's pushing everything up to the surface. What's interesting is when I talk in meditation to some of these ultra-dimensionals, you might say they're very, very advanced beings, and they speak as if you would think they were a prophet or an angel or something like that, because they talk a lot about heaven, you know, and heaven coming to earth, and they talk about God, but more as a frequency and a force, as a creative force within everyone and everything. You know, this divine intelligence. And, you know, they don't give it a name or an image or put it, you know, in a little old man with a beard off in the ether somewhere. And they give us the, you know, the true history of Earth, which is starting to unfold right now. People are digging up old tablets and scrolls and artifacts and, you know, showing that we have had encounters, you know, our entire time the civilization has been here. We've had interactions with different groups of ETs.
Yeah, like they were talking about, in near Iraq and Iran, was it Samaria? I think it's called Oz in that area.
Yeah.
They're picking up like 3,000, 4,000 years of connection, showing they finally figured out with extraterrestrials and the ancients back then.
Oh yeah, it's tying it all together now. All of the ancient temples that we're seeing, and the way they were built and who built them and the alignments with the stars and the knowledge they had was so advanced. You know, it definitely came from some very advanced beings, you know, that were definitely off-world. You know, they were otherworldly beings. That's what all the archaeology and everything, you know, the findings are pointing to, is, you know, the Anunnaki or the Nephilim or some, you know, they always point to the skies as far as where the technology came from. You know, it's interesting. You know, on the political side, are you familiar with Alfred Wobre's work?
No, I'm not.
Or Weber, I'm not sure if he goes by Wobre or Weber. But they actually, they put a thing into the UN, like a, for, it's supposed to be a decade of contact, where this next 10 years, they're open to contact in the United Nations, and they voted down the Star Wars program, I think it was 174-0 concerning the weaponization of space. They said, we don't, you know, the whole world does not want weapons in space.
Right.
Except for, you know,
the United States.
Our defense industry.
Yeah, I know.
Which is getting trillions of dollars to do it anyway, despite the wishes of the whole of the world. So, you know, we have to really take a look at that one. You know, do we really need to be spending trillions of dollars when we've got some very serious, you know, issues at home like Katrina and other disasters to come? And, you know, there's a lot of cleanup here with the homeless and the poverty and, you know, the condition of our infrastructure. But, you know, I think there is a movement where people are saying, you know, enough's enough. You know, we need to, you know, take our resources and put them back towards the common good and stop, you know, with all these crazy wars.
Well, that's why I think things are changing to a head. I mean, it's not coincidental. I think, like, I listen to even, you know, Pelosi and the Dems are talking about putting their monies, you know, and it's like, I mean, it's a little thing, but it's starting off to that type of mentality. We're trying to, you know, not run around and start wars, but trying to put our energies to, you know, take care of our own humanity, you know, as far as raising, taking care of education and poverty and getting to renewable energy. And they call it energy independence, which is like what you're talking about with, I think it's already there. They just have to, you know, they're trying to figure out, I think, the way of making a profit out of something that you can't put a profit on anymore. And that's, they're thinking the old ways. And that's, I think that's what's coming to a head, or the old ways of thinking are going to start slowly disseminate.
I think so, too. I think it's a higher consciousness and energy that's coming in now that's just shifting humanity from the inside out. And, you know, the majority of the world actually wants peace, and they want to clean up the planet and live in harmony with each other. And then there's these select few groups that are just still promoting this war and terror agenda and everything else, and, you know, creating demons everywhere and bad guys, and you know. So it's just this small group that is just out of control down here, and you know, if it was up to me, I'd hit the little beam me up switch and put them on a planet full of predators and leeches and everything.
What was it? Put them on the, what was that?
Hang out with their own kind, you know.
the prison that's under in jail.
Yeah.
What was the guy with the blue eyes? What was that movie? I can't remember his name now. This came past my mind. It was sort of like a futuristic, and he was stuck in a little. It was a prison planet.
Yeah, I missed that one, I guess. But yeah, it's getting really interesting. I fully do believe there's a greater force at play here, and I think it is aligned with, you know, the plan. The original plan was for us to live in harmony with each other and the planet. And, you know, back to Eden program, you might say. And I think this greater force is assisting in this endeavor. And you know, I do believe with all my heart that tyranny is going to fold in on itself. It's a consciousness and a frequency that's just no longer, you know, acceptable with this evolutionary process we're undergoing.
I definitely, yeah, I see that. I mean, I think that's basically it. I mean, everything's starting to just, we're going to evolve, but I think it's coming to terms of our own what they call that, our old tapes. When somebody, yeah. When you learn to grow and redevelop yourself, you have to get rid of the old tapes and start the new tapes. And I think it's that mindset. It's like changing a people's thought patterns. You know, it's
exactly.
Like I believe thoughts are things. So when you think things, the emotion those carry out. And I think as those start slowly changing, that you're creating a new vibration within that by doing that. And I think, like what you're saying, it's just going to evolve and open up more and more and more. And, you know, I'm just looking for the day where it's finally going, you know, I'm looking forward to the day we can just, all this massive knowledge that's out there that, and which we probably already know. It's just like with the story, we wake up and find out what we already know. It's just remembering it.
Because
yeah, exactly. I believe all the information that we have is actually within us. We just have to close our minds to it.
Yeah, there's so many people right now waiting for that day. I mean, a lot of us are just weary of social consciousness and the competition and the struggles. And, you know, and it really doesn't have to be that way. You know, nature is totally abundant. You know, if we just change our consciousness. And
yeah. See, I think it's like our competition could be in, you know, let's go play a game of football or basketball or baseball or tennis. You don't need it. It won't be a situation where we need to compete. This land's my land and the borders. It won't be competition. Is who dies with the most toys wins.
Well, you know, that's that consciousness of separation where they believe they're separate from everyone and everything, and you know, they try to build up their egos by the acquisition of material wealth and, you know, outer appearances and everything else. And, you know, that you'd think that would be getting old by now, but some people are still playing that game.
Well, I think Carvers are still a lot now. They still use the entertainment thing to keep people busy. I mean, a lot, that's part of the game, to keep people, you know, most people go do 9 to 5, come home, drink their beer, smoke their bong, watch TV, go to a club, and you know, they constantly have to have something entertaining themselves outside, their outside, you know, instead of, you know, looking to themselves. They have to constantly be, have this, like, entertainment thing going. And that's
exactly.
Basically a facade just to keep them busy. I mean, it's good to go, you know, entertainment. I'm not saying you can't not entertain, but when it's used just as a distraction as opposed to, you know, a recreation.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's turned from a recreation into a distraction, purposely.
It does seem to be, you know, we have to sit back and think about it. You know, this program we've been given, we've been inundated with, you know, through TV and social consciousness and everything. We need to step back and look at it and say, okay, who am I? You know, what is my unique purpose for being here? And what is really going to make me happy? I've been told that if I get this fancy car and be totally enslaved through debt, I'm going to get the beautiful woman. If I drink the right beer, I'm going to get the babe, you know, playing volleyball on the beach. And, you know, this whole program that we've been given, you know, just might be false.
Well, I believe it's the throwing the carrot in front of the rabbit.
yeah. You know, and really, you know, people are backing up and saying, you know, wait a minute. You know, I don't need all this stuff. I can just be happy.
Yeah, and I think it comes to terms when a lot of people, they don't realize it until they face a life and death situation.
Yeah.
You know, or somebody close to them has died or has faced life and death or has passed away. Then you realize that doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't. That's what happened with me. You know, I was in commercial real estate at the time when I had a drowning, a near-death experience, and I crossed over and then returned. I came back. I was in a different world. I couldn't even relate to the world I used to be in. And I saw the lack of love and the competition there and the backstabbing and just the total materiality program. And there was just no love or joy there. And I couldn't stay. I went and lived in the Redwoods after that for a while just to get grounded again. But I realized it took that. That's what it took to snap me out of the dream, you know, out of the program.
That's sort of me. I had owned the world. I was the one who had the BMWs. I had a multi-million-dollar business in Los Angeles, the second largest reconstruction company. And the universe sort of zipped it all away from me from different situations. Mm-hmm. Really quickly overnight, I went from being like very well, extremely wealthy to owing everybody, including the IRS, millions of dollars, and it was like, whoa. And then, you know, and now it's actually sort of weird. It came, that was the head actually that opened up my, that was the first time I started actually going out of body and started having, being in tune for what I am. And then I realized things, and I was being learning from my mentors, this is not what you're really supposed to be doing.
No.
Not worrying, making your money and having a BMW. You have more things in to do. And that was, you know, and I feel like that's, you know, that's what opened me up to what I know what I'm supposed to be doing in the, on this universe, in this particular earth plane. And I've had, actually, ironically, a lot of close life-death situations where I probably should have been dead. Let me tell you that. I definitely should have been dead. And everybody who says, oh, man, how the hell did you live through that? How did you live through that? And I've had close to that those situations. And I've had multiple life experiences within my own, this particular life. I mean, from trades. And I was always wondering why I kept on changing. And I think it was just knowing where I had to go. And it's like, I feel for me personally, I have gone through almost like, you remember the old Kung Fu movie?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Where, what's his name, David Carradine, would travel and meet different people. Well, that's me.
He'd leave a trail of broken bodies.
Yeah, well, but yeah, I won't do that. or do some kung fu thing and block arrows coming at me or anything like that.
Yeah.
But the thing of moving along, meeting people and, you know, just opening, like when I talk to certain people, I try to open their eyes to certain situations, to certain levels or whatever. And I even meet the most, you know, some people are so, who are heading into a very dark situation. Like, I met one person who was, I was talking to him and he started talking to me. He heard I was an author and I told him about my book, it was at Starbucks. And then this guy started becoming very racist. I'm going, whoa. I says, well, you know, if they can look at you like that. And I tried, you know, tell him, you know, a little bit. And, you know, you meet people and you're sort of surprised some of the things they still think. And you know, those are the hardest ones, you know. And if you say something to them, I learned always you can only give out so much. And if they choose to run through the wall, you can't throw your own ego there to block it. You just got to let them run through the wall until they find out, hey, there's a door on the other side.
Yeah, exactly. There's, you know, I was talking with one of these plating connections I have. I get a lot of information from her. And I asked her, I said, what is the main reason you've come? You know, why are you here? And she said, we're here to release the past. And I started thinking about it, and I said, okay, can you give me a little more detail on that? And she said, well, we're here to assist humanity to release the past, both the energies psychometrized into the earth, you know, the old war energy and the other problems that we're having, but to help them release the old grudges that they're carrying, because your past is creating your tomorrow. And people are carrying around these old hatreds and grudges and programs and you know, they're assisting those who choose to heal and release that and let it go, and you know, they're removing some of the influences that are stifling our evolutionary process. But you know, they can't transcend free will, and so we as a collective have to ask for help. You know, no matter what, you know, call it help from God, angels, ETs, whatever, we, you know, need to release the past, release the old wounds and traumas, you know, and the greatest of all tyrants, you know, are just very, very wounded little boys that never got loved or never got a hug or never, you know, and they're still trying to get daddy's approval by doing these dastardly things, you know, trying to regain their power. You know, they probably were abused or whatever, but you know, that's the game they're playing, but they're involving a whole lot of other people on a planet. It's just time for them to stop and heal and take stock in what they're doing and themselves, basically, and release the past.
Well, that comes with self-love.
Exactly.
Because like I said, if they develop the vibration of having self love, they wouldn't need to do that.
Yeah,
and they wouldn't need to go and, you know, do something to somebody else, like you said, they need that approval of somebody else because they'd have no self-worth. It's like what you're saying about Bush stuttering there. He's got to prove himself to Daddy. I can clean up what you couldn't.
You know, exactly, and the whole thing, and then gaining all the, you know, material wealth and everything. You know, you can't capitalize on war and disease and really have any gain on a soul level. You actually, the gain you get is just a giant bag of karma that's, you know, going to come down on your head. So, you know, we need to back up and reevaluate this, and people need to reevaluate who they're following and what they're supporting, and just say, you know, enough's enough. You know, we're not going to, you know, buy the tarot card anymore. We want peace and harmony, period, in the story, you know.
Yeah, well, that's basically, but I also believe that there's people here are different, have different soul elements. Like, I believe there are, like, soul, like I said, alien incarnate, you know, souls.
Oh, yeah.
That are more enlightened and more have more, and they may feel, like, different here. And then they may medicate or they may go different things, but I believe those are like, you know, the, from the Moses to Jesus to Buddha to Muhammad to Lao Tse Tung, they all, you know, or Einstein, are maybe spiritually not in their souls of Earth originate, and they came here to help do something positive. And I feel like a lot of them on the other side have turned their thing into a negative thing for control.
Exactly.
You know, and I pray, you know, that it's going to change, which I believe, you know, I think that vibration is going to change. I think people are going to, you know, and it is. It's all happening, I think, politically as well as, the subject of extraterrestrials. It's all intermixed.
Yeah, but, I think everything's going to be revealed here very shortly. We're in that age of ethics and revelation where everything is going to come to the surface, where we're going to see things as they really are and have to make a choice. You know, are we going to take the downward spiral into total oblivion, or are we going to take the upward spiral, you know, and live in peace and harmony with each other? And that seems to be the ultimate choice we're giving. You know, are we going to jump on the Armageddon train, or are we going to back up and say, wait a minute, you know, I don't think I want to buy this ticket. You know, I want a different reality.
Well, that's where I think in the spiritual sense, like in Judaic Christian, that's, or even Islamic, that's the messianic, the true messianic era.
Mm-hmm.
So in that, I think the religious people are very in religious, in the organized religion way, sense, should more be open to embrace that situation.
Exactly.
As to be counter to that, because that's what. That's being, if they want to say second coming or the first coming or mm-hmm. any coming, that's the coming.
Exactly. I always feel the second coming is the coming of Christ consciousness within the entire planet, you know, within everyone and everything. And whatever name you want to give it, the Christ consciousness, the Buddha consciousness, the Muhammad consciousness, you know, it's a consciousness of love. And, you know, everything else is just, you know, a primitive story.
Yeah.
You know, it's an old story, you know, that we don't have to act out anymore. We can all choose a new story. And I think that's where we're going.
Well, it's going to be pretty interesting the next few years and few months. But definitely look forward to what's everything coming to a head.
They're saying 1,000. We're going to go through 1,000 years of evolution according to the Mayan calendar this year. So everything's going to move so fast. It's just going to be unbelievable. And hopefully it moves in a positive direction. You know, I have faith that it is. I have, I have faith in the source and the powers that be and the higher energies. As far as where humanity chooses to go with this, I can't say, because some are going to take the downward. Can't thank you enough, Andrew, for coming on the show, and we'll have to get you back on again.
Okay, I appreciate it. Thank you for having me on your show.
All right, this is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio, signing off. Have a great evening.